darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, good evening, America. Alex McFarland here, very honored to be sitting in tonight for Abe Hamilton on the Hamilton Corner. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network, and we are going to get straight to it. We've got a great show with just a vitally important topic, a multi-layered topic, spiritual, cultural, moral, legal. And so this is one that you'll probably want to share with somebody. By the way, all the programs are archived at AFR.net, and this one will be as well. And I want to cue this up by mentioning Martin Luther, the great reformer. And we are here today riding on the ripple effect of his courage from 508 years ago during the Reformation. But Luther basically said, regarding issues in his generation, it was the gospel itself. But he said, you know, where the battle rages, our willingness to speak truth, that's where the makeup of the Christian is shown and proven. The fidelity and the courage of the soldier is demonstrated by their willingness to take a stand where the battle rages the most fierce. And in our lifetime, I mean, there are so many issues, but I will tell you, having pastored two churches, spoken in 2000, been around the block a little bit, there is no more prominent front burner issue in our lifetime than the issue of what God's word says and natural law says about morality and even gender, and what the culture says, and the LGBTQ trans agenda, worldview, activists. We know these are people God loves. These are people for whom Christ died. These are people who, like all of us, can be redeemed through Jesus Christ. We've interviewed literally dozens of former advocates that once championed the LGBTQ trans movement, but their life was changed and their life can be changed. And so to talk about this, especially because of some legislation, current and pending legislation in a number of states, very honored to weigh in on this topic with a longtime colleague and very trusted voice, expert voice on the subject, Ann Edwards. She leads the Restored Hope Network, which I will let her tell you about that. But great, great work they're doing to not only educate and inspire people, but I believe really encourage the church and clergy to stand strong for truth regarding God's word versus where the culture wants to be. Ann Edward, thank you for being with us tonight on the American Family Radio Network, but even more importantly, thank you for the work you're doing through Restored Hope. Glad to have you.
Well, it's a delight to be with you, Alex, and the listeners. It's lovely to join you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's always a privilege to bring truth to the equation where it's often challenged. So,
well, you know, I appreciate you. You and I have been at conferences, and I've watched you on media interviews, and you are always so articulate and very factual, and you keep your cool. I've never seen you get rattled. How do you maintain your composure and just your demeanor when sometimes people are just being very critical, pushing back, and you always keep it together, Anne? How do you do that?
Well, at the moment, I really think I try and focus on the eternal perspective that God wants to win the individual who has a different point of view right now, that he loves them and I love them. I know that truth is on the side of the God of truth, the one who made all things. So reality belongs to him. So it's not threatened easily. If I don't feel threatened, then it's way easier to love my neighbor and to appeal to him or her with truth, and find a common basis with which to make that appeal. And I don't know why. I think God's just partly gifted me with that. And so I can't claim all that myself, but he has given me grace to handle very challenging situations from time to time. And yeah, especially at that 2019 conference that you were with me in, I ended up being interviewed by a gay reporter with, I don't remember, it was in one of the major networks. And he revealed that he was getting married to his partner, his male partner, during our interview. And God enabled me to not even flinch and move ahead right with the love of God and the truth of God. And we'll be here for you when you, should you consider aligning with your faith.
I remember that. That was in Minneapolis, Minnesota, wasn't it?
That is right. It's been a little while. It's been a minute.
Time goes by. Folks, the voice you're hearing is Ann Edward of Restored Hope, and I want to take a moment and talk about the conference, because you put on excellent conferences throughout North America. And for those that may be unaware, Restored Hope, bring us up to speed on all that is the Restored Hope Network.
Well, thank you so much, Alex, for being able to share about that. The Hope Conference is coming up in just a couple of weeks. It's on June 20th and 21st on a Friday, Saturday, and people can join us online. So just to find out how to register, you go to restoredhopenetwork.org. But what we'll be covering is God's design and hope for those who want to leave behind LGBT. It will also be about overcoming pornography or sexualized media addiction. We have a specialist who's going to be sharing with us about his own struggle in that area and his support of other people who are leaving and walking free out of porn, which is a big deal. If you look at the research right now, Barna and other show that about 30 to 50% of Christian church-going women are dealing with porn addiction. And men, it's really usually much higher. Yes. So it's really, really strong. And, you know, our little phones have made that even more difficult to combat. There's so many algorithms also that tend to show teens pornography and get them hooked at an early age. So there are literally many struggles that are coming hard and fast at this generation. So unless they guard their hearts and they find the freedom in Jesus, they're going to be a hooked financial partner with the porn industry. So anyway, we're going to be covering as well, and a whole lot of testimonies, a whole lot of hope for those who want to align with God's will for their lives and their sexuality, their gender, and their relationships.
You know, with the Restored Hope Network, I've appreciated that you've had many, many great experts. And one thing that I've appreciated about the website is that it's a repository of really good content. And I want to thank you because I do a lot of media interviews. I've done three today, short form, and it might be Fox News, or it might be, you know, some secular news radio or television. And many a day I've gone to your website and perused the journal articles to, you know, cram in preparation for an interview. But tell people about what you have there. And it's a resource is what it is, really. A very authoritative resource.
It really is. Right. It has a lot of information that can educate people on the topics of transgenderism and where are the battle lines drawn? And what are the arguments for faith and that kind of thing? And even the people who helped create minor transitioning in certain countries are changing their minds for good reason, because the clients are not improving in mental health after all that they've invested in these young people, or they think they've invested. I would think it's more mutilation of the children's bodies, but they've come down to the data doesn't hold up mental health well-being after encountering transgender surgery and medical interventions. And so what they're seeing in Europe, we haven't yet come alongside of. But anyway, the restoredhopenetwork.org website does have that kind of information in there. It has many articles. It has newsletter articles and devotionals and things like that. Also, but personal stories, access to all of our previous recordings from Hope conferences and keynotes like you, Alex. Many of those are on there. And then it has articles like the ones that you mentioned. But the most important thing in my mind is that it has direct reference to local support. So if parents have a loved one who's coming out as trans, non-binary, gay, or something like that, and they're going through crisis, they're having a loved one who says, I'm marrying someone of the same sex, and they're really grappling with grief on that area, they can reach out directly on our website to parent support groups that we have all over the country. So whether you want to join one in your region, it's all up to you. But the boy, there's a lot of different options for people around the country. So we love to supply the day-to-day support and encouragement. And for those who are wanting to walk out of one of the letters and align with their faith in Jesus, and to align with their body, their bodily reality, we're here for them. We want to support them. And there are many ways that we can support them. So, yeah, that reference is right on our website.
Later on in the program, folks, we will open up the phones for questions. And honestly, there, in my opinion, there is no more expert voice from whom to solicit counsel than Ann Edward of Restored Hope. And so later on, we will open up the phones and give you an opportunity to ask questions. And we will get to some issues about legislation. But Anne, for just a little bit more on the spiritual side of things, you know, the New Testament calls the church the pillar and ground of truth. And I think as a minister and as individual Christians, we have a responsibility to lovingly but decisively proclaim truth. And yet, I got to tell you, most of my pastor friends would never preach a sermon about biblical sexuality, and certainly not something against homosexuality. Why do you think that is? The silence of the pulpit on this, to what do you attribute that?
I'd say it's fear, fear-based thinking. You're going to come back with, people are going to be upset at you. Someone will be upset if you cover that topic in the congregation. So that's one thing. Another thing is, if the world gets wind of it, they may attack full force. So you really have to be behind an understanding of what biblical sexuality is. Mm-hmm. Biblical sexuality, that's a great topic. That's a positive topic. And we can approach it from that direction as well. That there are many sin struggles related to sexuality that humans have that doesn't make them biblical, right? And there are things outside of God's design for his beautiful creation. And you can focus in on the beauty of that design and avoid a lot of the trouble in that sense. It's almost like taking a wedding sermon and bringing it into the church service and preaching it from the pulpit. That's actually approachable for most pastors. That's something they do all the time, isn't it? Now, you know, you don't have to call out homosexuality, or you can call it out amongst many other sins that people participate in that mar the image, the good image that God designed of husband, wife, and he being, this is an eternal design. This is an echo through the ages of the gospel. And so if we ignore that, it's important to recognize that we're actually ignoring a symbol that's part of humanity that points towards God. So Jesus being bridegroom, the church being the bride, God the initiator in Hosea, the people of Israel, the one who is doing adultery, spiritual adultery. I mean, that imagery is throughout the scripture. And so if we
we've got a break coming up. I don't mean to run over you there, but this is the Hamilton Corner, Alex McFarland, Ann Edward. Stay tuned, more after this brief break.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
The great servant of the Lord, John Wesley, his word for spiritual habits was a means of grace. Your prayer life is a means of grace. Your time in the Word of God is a means of grace. Your obedience is a means of grace. Your praise and worship and thanksgiving, those are means of grace. Those are tools you and I can put to work in our lives that can appropriate or help us to get a hold of and use effectively grace that's available to each and every one of us. And the fact is, God has an ocean of grace available to us all, but we have to reach up and grab it. Spiritual habits help us to reach up and draw from that wonderful ocean of God's grace. Your prayer time, your time in the Word, your obedience, all of them help you to appropriate grace in your life and to funnel more grace to pour into your life in greater measure. It's important that we take advantage of these wonderful blessings and opportunities God gives to each and every one of us.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here along with Ann Edward of the Restored Hope Network. We're talking about a Christian response to the LGBTQ messaging that we see all around us. And Ann, before the break, you were talking about, I had asked you about the church and our responsibility to speak truth. You know, you mentioned preaching through a list of sins so it doesn't sound like maybe we're calling out just one. And I want to be quick to say the Bible condemns heterosexual promiscuity. But you mentioned something, and I want you to elaborate on it. The defaced image. We're made in the image of God. And yes. And I've often said this, and Satan couldn't kill off God. You know, you read Isaiah 14, and Lucifer wanted to overthrow heaven. Satan could not kill off God, so he has tried to harm and dehumanize and debase the ones made in God's image. Is that a fair summarization of history?
That is an exceptional summarization. And if he can't accomplish that on his own, he will see if he can get us to cooperate with that. And that's how I see the trans movement actually operating. Because honestly, what we've found is people who go down that pathway, you've heard the claims, do you want a dead daughter or a live son? So do you want your daughter to appear like a son and you embrace that? Or do you want your daughter to commit suicide? That's the condition that's thrown towards parents about their children. If they go to a woke counselor, if they go to a governmental agency, if they're talked to by, Child Protective Services or somebody in a children's hospital, psych division, or you name it, those pressures are coming at parents all the time. Is that really true, though? It isn't, actually.
Yeah. It's a false dichotomy.
It's a false dichotomy, and people who don't align with their physical reality, if they're at disagreement with what they have that cannot change, because it's in every cell of our body, it's not just the physical organs, or the sex organs, it's all the way through. Every cell of the body has DNA in it as male or female. So there are many things impacted by that. Lungs, bones, bone structure, circulatory system, digestive system. What kind of muscle fibers are in your muscles? Seriously, there are so many different elements way beyond the bodily reality. But what happens is instead of mental health increasing, it decreases. The person might have a high initially, especially taking testosterone, because it feels like they have more power. They're more angry. And so you'll find that women who are transitioning or trying to or taking male hormones of a huge quantity are the ones who are committing these heinous acts. They tend to go in and shoot up children in like Nashville, that kind of thing. Not everybody does, mind you, but it's no surprise that male hormones tend to lean more towards violence. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Who would have guessed that a male taking female hormones, that person will be more depressed? Estrogen's a downer of all things. I mean, it didn't take this test to show that, right?
Right.
But the fact, the bad thing that's happening is boys or men who take a lot of high doses of estrogen are finding that they have an increased likelihood of hospitalization after a suicide attempt. So the most serious measure of suicidality is occurring because of pumping a body that's not meant to have that much estrogen, full of estrogen, and these individuals are trying to take their lives. I mean, the very thing they're claiming is what the trans medical procedure pathway is actually funneling kids down towards mental distress and mental health issues. And what they said in Europe essentially is, we are funneling kids, we are taking kids and just giving them cross-sex hormones and putting them on that pathway, but we're not dealing with their depression, their anxiety, their actual mental health issues, their distresses, their trauma from their past, all sorts of things. They're ignoring those completely and just putting them down this route of getting different cross-sex hormones or hormone blockade and then surgical pathways. And those surgeries don't turn out well often. They have side effects that are quite dangerous and may have involved lifelong pain in some of the most intimate parts of the body. And so honestly, there's not a lot of hope down that pathway. And is there any big surprise for us? It isn't a big surprise for us, is it, Alex?
Well, no, it isn't. And, you know, folks, let me say, we're talking with Ann Edward of the Restored Hope Network, leader of the upcoming Hope Conference, that I would urge parents, pastors, leaders, just concerned citizens. Look, even if you're not a Christian, because we're going to segue, we're going to talk about some legislation. Folks, I would say spiritual considerations aside, although obviously the spiritual considerations are the most paramount, but the legal considerations, and this is a whole nother subject, we've interviewed many people, but the imposition of the LGBTQ trans worldview requires the dismantling of the Judeo-Christian philosophical foundation of the U.S. Constitution. I know this is a bit of a heavy lift, it's a deep discussion, but as trans rights, quote unquote, are imposed upon the American people, what has to give way, and it is giving way, are natural rights. Now, we're going to get into that. But before we do, this is from about 5 years ago, but the Epidemiologic Review Journal, which is a medical journal, there was an article that I read and I quoted from, Cancer in Transgender People, Evidence and Methodological Considerations. This was an article signed off on by a number of endocrinologists and doctors and of gender reassigned patients. And you mentioned testosterone being administered to females, estrogen being administered to males. They list 17 types of cancers, stomach cancer, muscle tumors, pancreas, liver, lymphoma, melanomas, cancers in reproductive organs of both sexes. And the article, and it one quote in it, it said, current literature indicates a disproportional burden of adverse health conditions. In other words, 17 types of cancers that ordinarily people would not even get, but they are getting because of hormone replacement therapy. Could you speak to that? Does that data continue to accumulate?
It surely does. It surely does. And it's super sad to read this, but the truth of the matter is, a woman's body does not produce that amount of testosterone unless there's a cancerous object. There's a testicular, not testicular, women don't have that, but only in the cases of a certain cancer does the testosterone rise along those lines. So it's telling the body you have cancer as well. So one, cancers. Two, it's telling a message of cancer, whether or not that's there, because the testosterone administration is so high. And then the emotional instability is also in place. And then there's also other issues. If you give a female body testosterone and the blood cells increase in the circulatory system much higher than a female's body should be, what happens there? There is a potential chance of clotting in the circulatory system, which can lead to strokes, heart attacks, you name it. And so embolisms, that kind of thing. So we're talking about pretty serious health risks associated with all.
Well, and the journal articles that I was reading, I was doing a lot of research. I ended up going to a major oncology hospital in North Carolina, interviewed two doctors and a surgical oncology nurse. And actually, some of these persons were pulling out of this hospital because they were being pressured to engage in procedures that they did not feel like they could ethically do. But this is what a surgical oncology nurse said to me, and I quote, and I was showing these journal articles, many of which are from Europe, because a lot of American medical journals are silent on these issues. But this particular oncology nurse said to me, to transition, HRT, hormone replacement therapy, to transition is to give yourself cancer. Now, to the ministers out there and the Christians that say, oh, don't be hateful, don't preach against LGBTQ trans issues. Look, Jesus said, love our neighbor. And if I'm loving my neighbor, why would I encourage them towards something that would jeopardize their body, if not their soul?
Right. I mean, if you just think about that related to smoking, there were class action lawsuits done by states against the tobacco industry, right? Because it was cancer causing. It's cancer causing. So they had to put warning labels and all sorts of other things. And yet the U.S. is propelled, especially under the Biden administration during that time, was forcing people and institutions to embrace something that's not even aligned with reality. And the outcomes and the dangers of this policy are physical, they're mental, and they're definitely spiritual. But physically alone, just the physical, it's incredibly damaging to the body.
Indeed.
So
Indeed.
I concur with you completely, Alex.
Well, the legislation, like in Colorado, a Christian camp is facing litigation because they don't want to comply with legislation that, even taken to its end, could put teenage males and females showering together. I mean, just crazy, irresponsible stuff that I would say amounts to child endangerment. But where does the legislation stand? Well, there's, you know, churches and ministers and laws against deconversion therapy. So let's talk about this for a bit.
Absolutely. A bill was just signed. There's two different things that you might have mentioned. One is about conversion therapy, which is really counseling bans. You aren't allowed to help somebody align with their body who's a minor in the state of Colorado, or seek to leave behind homosexuality, or to reduce actions or behaviors or attitudes or feelings along those lines. You're allowed to help people explore gender transition, and that's not considered conversion therapy according to the law. So that's been challenged by Kaylee Childs. Kaylee Childs has sued, and it has been reviewed by the state, the state Supreme Court. It was held that counseling between a minor and a counselor is actually considered conduct, not speech. Okay, so conduct or speech, that's the big debate. And then it went up to the Circuit Court, which is the 10th Circuit here in Colorado. And the 10th Circuit Court ruled that the state could control conduct of somebody who's in a profession, and that this was conduct, and therefore they upheld the law that was being challenged. It has since gone to the U.S. Supreme Court, and so we're looking forward to the U.S. Supreme Court hearing the arguments and making a decision. Is speech within a counseling practice, is that speech or is it conduct? The Ninth Circuit Court, which controls California, Oregon, Hawaii, Washington, et cetera, that has ruled that it's conduct. They did a really
and the
bad
Ninth Circuit is a notoriously ruled. Woke, yeah. Notoriously leftist district, isn't it?
It is. It's the most overturned circuit court in the nation. But Colorado has been very, very, very overturned by the Supreme Court lately with the Jack Phillips cake case. Can you compel expression? And actually, the argument here is, shall a person be allowed to obtain the counsel and help that they're seeking to leave homosexuality, even if they are a minor? Is it allowed to have that conversation within, and it's talking only, we're not talking any other thing. So by the way, prayer is talking as well. Praying with someone is talking with the person and with God. So that's speech, and that's being prohibited in a lot of places. But anyway, this counseling case has been accepted up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we're feeling pretty confident that that might be overturned. The 11th Circuit Court, which covers Georgia, Florida, and Mississippi, overturned all the minor bans for those three states in the circuit court. And their ruling was, this is speech. There's no special carve-out for speech for counselors. They also have the right to speech, and so do the clients. And so we believe that's going to be the ruling or something along those lines, but we don't know until it happens, of course. What happened lately in Colorado, it never seems to stop in its pursuit of all this.
And please forgive me. Hold that thought, if you would. I hear the music. We've got a break. Folks, if you have a question for Ann Paul, the number is going to be 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We'll take any and all questions relative to this subject. This is the American Family Radio Network with our guest Ann Edward of Restored Hope Network. Alex McFarland saying stay tuned. We're back with your calls and more content after this break.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Many books of the New Testament are letters from apostles to churches, but there is one book containing seven letters to churches, and they were dictated by Jesus Christ himself. I'm David Wolin. Join me and my guest, Dr. Joe Stoll, on a Haven Today series called Letters from Jesus.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
Mental health industry missing the mark. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. The statistics are staggering. One in five people in America have been diagnosed with a mental illness. One in six are taking powerful psychotropic medications, such as antidepressants, anti-anxieties, and stimulants. And here's the troubling part. The material brain and the immaterial mind are wrongly considered to be one and the same, which means wrong and harmful treatments are administered. God's way to a sound mind is the right way. When we obey his command to be born again, we can then be, as scripture says, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hear a most recent program with Greg Gifford, author of Lies My Therapist Told Me, at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend as we discuss how to lead your family.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. We're going to resume our conversation with Ann Edward of Restored Hope. By the way, if you have a question or comment, the LGBTQ trans issue, legislation, it's in front of us every day. If you want to call with a question, the number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I want to say a word about our own speaker series that we've got this summer, in addition to seven youth camps. And please pray for I and my staff. I'm in Montana right now. This is our first week of seven youth camps. But additional to the youth camps for teens, we've got a speaker series for grown-ups, and we call it Conversations That Matter. Now, we are for this, we're in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, one of the big resort areas of our nation. And coming up June 15, we have Dr. Gary Chapman, who wrote The Five Love Languages. And Dr. Chapman is a longtime friend and colleague. We had, on May 4th, we had Dinesh D'Souza. People came from 10 states. It was amazing. And then later on, we'll have Charlie Kirk. We'll have Lauren Green from Fox News and a whole lot of other things. So Biblical Worldview Matters. Please, if you would, check out alexmcfarland.com/conversations. And my travel schedule is on there as well. And so we look forward to seeing you when we come to your town, as I'm sure we will eventually. Well, by the way, Ann, let me ask you this before we get calls. Your willingness to speak, can people book you and bring you to speak in their city?
Yes, they can. But I do, as the network executive director of over this umbrella organization, I am rather busy. So they will have to ask it way in advance, and I will see what I can do.
So you're different than me. I would speak somewhere 365 nights a year if I almost do, but I know you're maybe not quite the road warrior though.
That's right. You are much more the road warrior than I am, Alex. That is true.
But yeah. The website, if you would give your website again.
Absolutely. That would be restoredhopenetwork.org. Restoredhopenetwork.org.
Folks, yeah, if you've go ahead.
I was just going to say that the HB bill that passed the 1312 that the Christian camp sued related to, that's such a big deal. Many other groups have also sued about it. There's a parents advocacy group and do no harm group and all sorts of another doctor. And there are so many elements to do with this bill they literally require you to use the name of whatever the person's chosen right then.
Sure.
So if you're a parent, that's really difficult. Your son wants to be called Marie or who knows what, you would have to use that, or it could be used in custody hearings or the child protective services, potentially. They did remove a portion of that from the bill that did pass and was signed by Governor Polis. So it is in effect, but they've been sued on it at least several suits that I'm aware of that have multiple different people involved. And essentially it is, are you compelling us to use particular speech? And the answer is yes. Yes,
yeah.
The state of Colorado wants you to compel you to use certain speech, or you'll be considered discriminatory, or that's discrimination language. And so that gets you into a whole other field of lawfare that brings in challenges a parent's right to speak their mind or an educator's right to speak their mind. And also, the ruling by the early Department of Early Childhood Education has said basically to this Christian camp, no, you don't have a religious exclusion from allowing someone a person who identifies as another gender must be housed in that gender grouping. So yes, mm-hmm. boys can be housed with girls in that case, simply because of the Department of Education. So they have sued those particular departments as well. And yeah, there's a lot going on in Colorado. It used to be a red state, you know, and then it went to purple. Now it's blue. It's solidly blue.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We're going to go to John in North Carolina. By the way, if you have a question or you want to weigh in on the conversation, the number 888-589-8840. John in my home state of North Carolina, thanks for holding. Welcome.
Yes, sir. I was just calling to get some clarification on the ruling by the court in reference to what's considered behavior versus speech. I'm a mental health counselor myself, and so this is kind of close to my heart and to what I do for a living. So I'm trying to, and I'm sure that there's lots of opportunity to ask a variety of different questions to dig into this because it's a big topic. But as a baseline, I'm just trying to understand maybe the comparison or maybe an example of what's considered behavior versus what's considered speech, because I'm not sure how talk therapy gets categorized as behavior.
Great question.
Well, that's a great question. And I think that's what we're mostly all puzzled by. So in the liberal Northwest, and part of my family lives in Washington State, they had decided that you can compel speech in a professional setting because professionals are doing, it's professional conduct. Speech is conduct within a professional setting. So they are not considering that as being protected under the First Amendment, right? So they feel like they have the right to impose their views if it's considered conduct. And literally, that's the language as opposed to behavior. They consider it conduct. So the ruling of the 10th Circuit, the one that oversees Colorado, the ruling of the 9th Circuit that handles most of the West Coast, and then another circuit, I can't recall which one, but the 11th Circuit actually ruled that speech is speech, and it is talk therapy being done, so therefore it's protected under the U.S. the First Amendment. And I believe theirs is the most logical argument. So I believe that's what's going to prevail in the long run with calmer heads and wiser thoughts going on there. It is puzzling how you could consider talk therapy or discussion or conversation to be conduct versus speech. But that's the distinction there. That's the fine line they're drawing.
Do you know anything about the Fourth Circuit court, Maryland, North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, South Carolina? The caller is from North Carolina, the Fourth Circuit. Are there any legal milestones?
I don't know. They tend to be a bit more liberal in the Fourth Circuit, but I don't know what the Fourth Circuit ruling is. Right. What I do know is I can look it up. I can find it for you pretty quickly. So if you go to a different question, I'll find the answer and come back.
Yeah. I want to go to Rebecca in Texas. Rebecca, thanks for holding this. I think potentially could be a very important call. But Rebecca, you're on with our guest, Ann Edward.
Yes, thank you very much. Do you have materials you could recommend that I could give to a family member, a nephew, that his daughter is transing and they aren't Christian, and so they are just fanning the flames of this trans, but she actually has gotten more depressed after, right. you know, taking... Do you have resources that I could
yes.
point them to?
Absolutely. If you go to our website, restoredhopenetwork.org, under resources, you'll find recommended resources. And then there's resources for trans resources. Within that, there are a number of different things, including articles at the top and the fact sheets that we published after a very extensive review of the research out there. So what endocrine experts are saying, medical consequences, there are some very powerful documentaries. One is In His Image that American Family Association also helped.
Fantastic.
Yes. And Transformed is a great documentary that talks about, has 15 different people's experiences of encountering the trans movement and what brought them into that, how they stepped out of it. So it's got the personal stories involved. And then if you scroll down a bit more, there's a whole bunch of books on different stages of life, from Dangerous Affirmations, My Transgender Experience, written by Jerry Lake and Denise Schick, to DeCis, D-Trans, Detox, Getting Your Child Out of the Gender Cult by Maria Keffler, who's a counselor, and a whole bunch of other books. Abigail Schreier's book, Irreversible Damage. So all sorts of things there that they might want to check out.
Rebecca, our prayers are with you and your family, and I'm deeply grateful you would call. Also in Texas, I want to go to Kenneth in Texas. Time fleets away, and we've got to have you back. But Kenneth, are you there?
I'm here.
Yes.
I have a very loud opinion that. And it's not very humble that this garbage starts in the colleges. We have lots and lots of professors out there turning out students with nonsensical degrees in gender studies, ethnic studies, and all of these studies, and those are the people who go to court to make sure that your teacher, your child's teacher, can transition, help your child transition without you knowing about it.
Hey, Kenneth, forgive me for jumping in, but I agree, having spent 25 years of my life in higher education. Yeah, a big part of the problem are secular universities and even some traditionally Christian denominational colleges and grad schools that are woke. Kenneth, point well taken. I want to go to Tyrone in Oklahoma. Tyrone, are you there?
Yes. Yes, I just had a question for Jeff Kennedy, and he's in talk about medicine. Has he commented about how these hormones or affecting children, and is he going to take a stand on that? And I'll just hang up and listen for your comment.
Thank you. Ann, are you aware of his position?
I am not aware of his position related to the hormones, actually. A couple of the executive orders that have come from President Trump have pinpointed the impact of the medical transitioning and how dangerous that is. So I do know that the president is not for transing children. That much I'm very aware of, that he's made very clear. He's said that there's only two genders, for example, and that was such a relief to hear from the White House. But as far as the Kennedy, I am
I'm not sure
what his on that.
I want to try to squeeze in Larry's call from Indiana. Larry, are you there?
Hello, Alex, I am.
Yes, quickly, please, and thank you.
Sure. Alex and the guest, I can't remember your name, I'm sorry, but I worked as a psychiatric nurse for about 38 years, inpatient, mostly inpatient, locked units, and my last 13 years outpatient. I quit the resigned from the last job after, like I said, being there 13 years, because I was not basically not allowed to question these young people as to what they were doing. Had they thought about it? Were they concerned about the harm that it might do to them? So I had to quit. And I just wondered if there's any sort of a place for all the psychiatric nurses across the country that they could go to. And you gave the name of your organization. If you could give that again, I'd appreciate it.
Great. Take it away,
Absolutely. Ann. RestoredHopeNetwork.org. Youth can come to us. There are certain states where it's illegal to help them, but we have people who can help all over the country. And so in many cases, they can receive either pastoral care or they can be helped in that particular state. So it's a matter of those things
and
likely being overturned by next year.
We're almost out of time. Ann, Edward, all the callers, thank you. Marty, Bobby, Jeff, McIntosh, thanks for engineering. And listeners, thank you. Blessings.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.